This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Oh, good morning across the state. Christine Layton with Sabrina Hunt in the studios.
Woohoo!
Post-tropical cyclone Narelle, she's moved inland. She's not a cyclone anymore, but no. Boy, oh boy, did she do some damage to Exmouth.
She was determined, this Narelle, wasn't she? So she sort of, you know, she crossed all the way over the top of Australia and then thought, you know what? I'm still going to party.
I'm not done.
So picked up a little bit of speed when she came to WA and thought, let's see what we can do here.
Yeah. Was it 350 mil at Learmonth? Carnarvon only had 12 mil, but they had massive gusts.
Huge winds. Yeah. And I know that, I mean, Carnarvon is a really windy place and always has been, but there's been quite a bit of damage. People have seen even, you know, big palm trees just ripped straight out of the ground. So I thought what we might do this morning, if people have lost plants where they've actually come out of the ground, depending on the plant, what the plant is, there is something that you can do. But the weight of the tree, what kind of tree it is, it depends on the survival rate. But it's really worth giving it a crack to try and winch it back up and get it set back into the ground. So you've probably got like a 24-hour window to do that.
Okay.
If it's something like one of the big palms that they have up in Carnarvon, you will need machinery to help winch it up. So the trick is where it's been ripped out of the soil, if part of it is still in the ground, then you can excavate the hole around it so that you can fit the root mass back in the hole.
Wow.
So what you have to do is where you're tilting it back into the hole, you need to remove extra soil from there so that you can actually make sure that it's straight when it comes up.
Yep.
The other thing you can do is actually put anchors down, like big, I'm talking big posts, so three posts, and actually tie the trees back to those poles.
Yeah.
Because they'll need a while to re-establish root system, particularly the stabilising roots. Don't fertilise it. Water it. Well, Carnarvon didn't get much rainfall, so you will need to water it. If you're in Learmouth, your stuff is probably swimming still.
Yeah, definitely.
So trying to get the water away from the plants that have been affected, that is really paramount. You may have to put in, even if you put in just a open French drain so that you get the water coming away from the root system.
Why is it called an open French drain?
That's what they used to call them. I don't know. People had it when you didn't have septic. You had French drains.
That makes it sound fancy. Makes me want to get dressed up and walk on some cobblestones. Give us a call, 1300 221 1025. Let us know where you're calling from, name and suburb, and let's get into it, I reckon.
Yep.
Let's go to Mark in Willerton. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Christine and Sabrina. How are you?
Very well, Mark.
So well. How did you go overnight, Mark?
Oh, I wish that the cyclone had ripped out this passion fruit vine I'm staring at.
Really? You want it ripped out?
Narelle will come back for you.
Well, that's the question. It's the most magnificent passion fruit I've ever grown. I bought it from a very large establishment locally.
Yeah.
And it's about 2 years old, and it's got hundreds of flowers. It's in a pollinator garden. It's got everything you could possibly want, but I have got zero fruit from it.
Ah, you got one of those. Mm. You got one of those dud passion fruit. Now, there's definitely been something going on with the passion fruit arena, because over the past 10 years in particular, people have had the same problem with their passion fruit. So what you need to do is you need to see if there is pollen on those little flat paddles, which are the anthers. Now, it's going to be a bit hard today because they'll all be wet. So the pollen's probably washed off. But if there's no pollen, you're never going to get fruit. So I don't know if it's a climate change thing, if there's a new beetle that's eating all the pollen. I don't think so. I actually reckon it's a genetic problem with the passion fruit that we're getting, or more likely actually a combination of different factors. So climate, whether there's insects taking the pollen, or genetically the plants are not producing pollen.
They've just lost the passion.
Yeah.
They've lost love.
No passion and no little
is it yellow?
Going
what colour is
it? Yeah, it's yellow.
Okay.
Yellow or brown colour. So I've been trying to get hold of the commercial passion fruit growers in Perth, well, outside of Perth, actually, in the southwest, to see if we can get someone in to clarify if they're having the same problem and what they've put it down to.
And if there is pollen, do you go out there with a paintbrush?
You can go out, but if you've got bees, or you've got native bees, or you've got beetles or leafhoppers, all those sorts of things, they will actually spread the pollen. But to make sure, you can use a little paintbrush and just go from flower to flower. Okay. But traditionally, we haven't needed to do that in Perth. Mm. So that's why I think it's genetic.
All right. We'll find out for you, Mark. But you raise a really important question. Let's go to Jason in Ellenbrook, who is planting a macadamia tree. Hi, Jason.
Perfect weather.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
I'm also a card-carrying member, like Mark, of the passion fruit vine with no pollen. Mine popped a chainsaw the other week. So.
Yeah.
I've recently acquired a house in Ellenbrook. And I've got a spot I want to put a macadamia in.
Yep.
So it's going to be, it's probably 4 metres by 4 metres. So, and it's on a fence line, still a fair way away from the house.
Yeah.
I'm planning just dig a bloody big hole
And fill that bloody big hole with lots of good stuff. So
is it better to go and buy a large one from a commercial establishment, or just go and grab one and let it go?
Nah, I would actually get a grafted one, Jason. You're going to get much better fruit.
Established or small?
Getting a grafted one that's pretty big is probably quite hard.
Yep.
But you should be able to get one in a 300, 350 mil pot that's been grafted. You'll get much better macadamias. Mm-hmm. They fruit much earlier, and they are actually more adaptable to the coastal sands that you'll be putting them in. So, Jason, I want you to go and get some bags of compost, some bags of cow poo, get some slow-release fertilizer and wetting agent. You will need to make a really good hole for that tree to go into.
We've got access to some God's clay, so are we putting clay in as well?
Yeah, because you're on sand, so the clay will be, but no more than 10%, 15% clay, Jason.
Okay. Well, good luck, Jason. Get into it. I had a little grafted one that cost $25, and I put it in before the heat, which was obviously a silly idea, and then helicopter parented, you know, watered it in the hope it wouldn't die, but it frizzled up and said no to life. But
they don't like exposure to strong winds.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Mm. I probably did all the wrong things there. Thank you. Let's go to Peter in Helena Valley. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Sabrina, and good morning, Christine, OG favourite, with a guttural guru.
Ah, anyway. That's fabulous.
Back to me.
Back to you.
I bought my parents' house, so this plant is like really, really old, shrub, what do you even call it, and I've cut it back to the stump.
Yeah.
Dumps it because they're everywhere. And I drilled holes in them and filled them full of blackberry mix, 60-40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. yeah.
But the root system is everywhere, and it's sprouting now out of the root system.
Yeah.
And so I can't really drill holes in anywhere.
No. You don't want to drill holes, but you can spray those suckers. What did you say the plant was?
I sent a photo in. And it's grown everywhere, and even some of the branches actually have grown back into the ground.
Oh, my Lord. Mm. Sounds like here we are.
Had little, the parrots loved it because they had little like berry things, like the size of a raisin on it. And it's just havoc.
It's just, nah, it looks like.
No.
Is it? Is it a Duranta? It's not a. I can't see much. I can't see the details in the photo. But
ask me a car question. I'm laughing.
Okay. So now, now that you've just got the suckers coming up and it's re-sprouting, you would be able to spray that with just get some glyphosate.
Okay, right. That was my question. Do I do a 60-40 blackberry or the glyphosate?
No, go the glyphosate. Yeah. Now that you've knocked the main body of it off, just spray it with glyphosate.
Go hard and just be careful with it, Peter. Mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
1300-221025. Taxi Joe in Bentley.
Taxi Joe. Hey. How are you, mate?
Hello. Oh, good. Can you hear me? Good.
Yeah, we can.
Yep. Got you. What's happening in your garden?
Well, we've had a big busy day because the apartment of the housing haven't been happy with me.
Yeah.
And so Real Life Church volunteers, which I don't know, Matt and his mate Des from Real Life, and then my mate Ken Lee, he showed up one thing.
Did he?
Then he went uptown to go buy requisitions for us.
Did they fix the root under that path? Because I remember you phoned up and you said you've got this root from a tree that's coming up.
Yes.
It's lifting the path.
Fantastic.
Well, contractors came in and chopped it off like in an excellent way.
Great.
You said, right, Savvy.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome, Taxi Joe. That's really good news. Thank you for letting us know. 1300-222-720.
Community spirit is a marvellous thing.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And, I mean, I was saying to the Shire president in Exmouth, he's worried that people aren't going to go up there for school holidays.
Oh, you know, they're all getting ready for it and now
they've got to clean up.
Yeah.
And I said, we will still go up there. You know?
Absolutely.
And they should do a busy bee. You know, I reckon there'd be so many people from Perth and, you know,
that are very willing to actually chip in and help sort stuff out.
Wouldn't know how to fix a fence, but, you know, certainly come up with enthusiasm.
I suppose the big thing will be availability of fuel.
That's the other thing.
That's the little clincher there. But anyway.
The PM said that he's getting more supplies.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's something.
Yeah.
I don't know how many EV chargers there are on the way to Carnarvon.
There's probably quite a few, actually.
Probably. I've got to find out. But anyway.
Take your time. Make some curried egg and lettuce, Sangers.
That's right.
Take your time.
Enjoy nature.
Yep.
Bradley is in Busselton and has a question for us. Hi, Bradley.
Hello. Hello, girls.
G'day, Bradley.
The been obviously with the rain and stuff, I've been putting some of the product that you actually make.
I don't actually make it, but
whatever. Recipe, I believe.
Yep.
Anyway, when I was down there trying to get some more, they said, "Oh, this is no longer going to be available because Sabrina's retiring, and you can't get this product anymore."
Afraid so.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. Look, Bradley, I'm 70, so I've kind of figured let's pull back a bit and play in my own garden. But it's all right. Don't panic because I'm never retiring from the ABC.
Yay.
So they're going to have to kick me out.
Got it on tape.
When I'm here on my little walker. If I get dementia, clearly they'll have to kick me out.
No, I would still have you on. You know what I mean? Because we need to talk about this.
I've pulled back part of the business so that I can spend more time with family, muck about in my own garden, and come into the ABC twice a week because, you know, it's my family here.
Bradley, I was also upset because of the indoor plant spray, which has quite literally kept 100 things alive in my house. So it's not just you.
All right. So what recommendation do I use for keeping my...
Bradley, I can't give product names.
But we can be cryptic. Water penetration?
Water penetration, I would go for... I can't really... There's too many products that you will need. Mm. So I tell you what, Brad... Now, if you stay online, we'll give you to one of the Ashes that are out the front there. You give your phone number and I can send you a text message, okay?
Oh, that's good.
Because there is some fabulous stuff that's actually made in Western Australia.
Ah.
And it helps improve your soil.
Shop local.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, let's go to Herb in Hobia, who has a watermelon in a wicking bed. That was a really fun sentence to say. Hello, Herb.
A watermelon in a wicking bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I sent an image earlier in which I was, you know, had a picture of the...
Chasers on the case.
A couple of wicking bed
I'll
things. One was it included a watermelon and a Sahara cucumber.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
And then a boss pear from a place in Hobia. Anyway.
Right. Okay.
Now, I've had a great harvest when I followed your advice about, well, pick it when the stem connecting the thing to the plant is starting to turn brown.
Yep.
But I'm finding that each of the three watermelons in the wicking bed has only got a root system or something big enough in that small wicking bed to grow one watermelon at a time.
Yeah, because watermelons sprawl everywhere.
Yeah, rightio. So they need a certain amount of leaf area to and soil space to produce their fruit. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So you really would only have room for one watermelon per wicking bed. They, you know, they're a bit like a pumpkin in that they're a vine and they just grow all across the ground.
Yeah, well, I've got three plants and one fruit per plant, and I found that when I harvested a fruit earlier, that the replacement grew there within 2 weeks.
Wow!
To, you know, a lot like half a football size. So it is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They love you. That's great, Herb. Thank you. 1300 221 0225 if you want to give us a call and ask Abby a question. We've got your pick of the week coming up.
Oh, yes.
At 9:30 as well, which I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
And Joe is in Dianella. Let's go to Joe. Hang on, I'll just get her up there. G'day, Joe.
Hello. Hello, thank you, Joe, for taking my call. Hello.
It's our absolute pleasure. We're here to please.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I'm hoping can tell me. I'm easily pleased, so this will be fine. I've popped in some grevilleas. Most of them are flower, but I have one that's called Winpara Ruby.
Yeah,
it has stunning foliage. It's growing wide and tall, but not a flower. It's about 18 months.
Okay. Oh. So the Winpara Ruby has come from the Winpara
gold.
Gem. Yeah, and gold.
Yep.
And they will take, they're a little bit like the Oliveaceae, Grevillea Oliveaceae. The flowers come basically inside the bush, but it will take a couple of years to flower, and then once they start, they don't stop.
Oh, okay.
So it will flower as long as it's got enough sun.
How much is enough sun?
Well, so it needs at least half a day of sun.
Oh,
yep. Okay, yes, it gets that.
Okay, so it's just a matter of patience. And the other thing with those grevilleas is they're the hardier, tougher, longer living grebs. So, you know, you should get 30 years out of them. So they do take a little while to start flowering.
Do you feed it? Do you need to feed it?
Yes. So use a native because they're part of the Proteaceae family. So you do not want anything with more than 1% phosphorus. So get a slow-release fertilizer that's only got 1% phosphorus. So the nitrogen, potassium is fine, probably 10% nitrogen and maybe 12, 15% potassium.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Joe. Walkie-dokie.
I hope it flowers.
It will.
Yeah.
It will.
It's so exciting when you spot the first one.
I know.
All right. Let's take a trip to Australind where we've got Kaz complete with photo that we can see. Hello, Kaz.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning,
how are we?
Kaz.
There's bare roots of your poor tree.
Oh, a little bit. Is that the rain?
No, that's me.
Oh, right. Okay. I was just thinking the rain may have washed all the soil away from the root system.
I wish. No, because I had it this beautiful, God, now I've forgotten what it's called, crepe myrtle.
Yeah.
And it's in a pathway, so I'm trying to make that bed more flatter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, open it up a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm taking the dirt away, but it is probably about a 10-year-old tree.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, am I going to harm this tree by taking all those surface roots off?
Yeah, because there's too many, Kaz. You know, right. The other thing, I know you want to drop the soil level. Mm. Now, I don't know if it's going to be an option for you, but crepe myrtles transplant really well if you do it in winter when they're completely dormant.
Okay.
So this, you've got two options. You can either dig it up and transplant it and put it to where you've got a bit more soil, or you go and get some Core 10 steel, you know, the what they use for garden edging, and just around the tree, so hammer it in the ground so you can keep the soil just in that square pocket around the root system.
Oh. Yeah.
And it'll prevent the soil from coming and washing down on your pathway.
Okay, I can do that. That sounds good. The other picture you've got is my eucalyptus snow queen, which I've also planted in the wrong place and way too close to the house.
That would look good when it was little.
It was little and it didn't look like it was going to grow big, but it's growing. And, of course, all the leaves are going to go into the gutter and I have to shift it. So it's about 2 years old, maybe a year and a half old.
No. You can – look, King's Park they do, but they do it over a long period of time, you know, over weeks or a few months where they gradually cut through the root system and they get the surface roots to grow a bit more. They're very successful in transplanting them. But eucalypts are notoriously difficult to transplant.
If it
has to go, give it a try. So prune a third off the top and every single branch. Get as much root system as you can. Have the hole already pre-dug and good to go. Water it really well once you've put it in, but you've probably got – it's more of a 70% death rate.
Oh, isn't it terrible when past you made a poor choice?
I do it all the time.
I put an Akia Bukalanta right in front of the power pole.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Oh, it's having a great time. It's growing really well. I don't know what extras it's getting from the power source, but anyway. Deal with it when it's a problem, right? Let's go to Eliza in Exmouth. Oh, Eliza, how was your night?
Oh, windy.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty scary. There was lots of wind and sadly we lost a few of our mango trees.
Oh, no. Now, the good thing is, though, Eliza, is that you can have a crack at putting them back in the ground. So you're going to have to give it a pretty severe prune, though. So you'll be taking 50% off.
Okay.
And you will need three big stakes and re-stake it and make sure you harness the tree on three different limbs to those stakes because they will need stabilizing for a couple of years.
Wow.
Okay.
And it's really worthwhile giving it a go.
Yeah. We've got one big one that was 5.5 meters. We sent a photo through and it's kind of snapped at the main... One of the main branches.
Don't like your chances for that one, actually.
Oh, no.
But again, I don't like the look of that. I think you're going to find that very, 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 very difficult. God, it's shredded it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I think you've lost that one, Eliza. But, you know, try and save the others.
Yeah.
What kind of mangoes?
They were Kensington Pride.
Yeah, KP's such a beautiful mango.
Yeah, the pain. Oh, Eliza, do you have to clean up much else on the property?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of clean up today. We've got a big tree on our shed that we've got to chop down.
Wow.
But look, not too much damage compared to other people.
Yeah.
Lots of people to help out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, thanks, Eliza. And good luck. And Blaze Aid are a great organisation who I didn't think of because I think of them primarily for bushfire, but of course they go out after cyclones and floods.
Yeah.
So if you want to volunteer, if you're from Perth and you're feeling a bit helpless, you've got the skills.
Yeah. Go and give a hand.
Yeah. Blaze Aid. BlazeAid. It's 9:30.
Let's go, rock and rollers.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
Yes, Sabby, where have you gone?
Well, I really like Olivia Dean's voice. I don't like the lyrics of the song because it's about a man I need, but which, you know, clearly I really believe that you don't need them that much.
Maybe we need them just for clean up with the cycling. But, yes.
No, I'm just joking. Anyway, she's a British lass, but she's got a really fantastic voice.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
Good choice. Good choice.
This is give this a go.
Man I need. You can't understand what she's saying anyway.
Yeah. Talk to me.
Talk to me. Olivia Dean, Man I Need. Already pre-approved in the ABC playlist. I could have just done that.
Yeah, I didn't realise because usually I play stuff that
is exotic.
Yes, other people don't. We've got a clanger coming next week, but I'm saving that as a surprise.
Is that an Easter remix of some sort?
No.
Great forward promote. We need some calls, please. 1300 22 1025. 1300 22 1025. Whilst we load them up, we've got Asha and Ash B in the studios. We've got lots of texts.
Yes, and there's a lot of people I think have copped a whole pile of damage in their garden.
Mm.
So hopefully you've got time to be able to get a couple of winches and winch stuff back into the ground.
Yeah. What happened to my herbs, Andrea says? They were going very well and in the last week this happened.
Mm.
What can I do? It's a bit holy.
It is very holy. So that will be the holy moly roly poly caterpillars.
Ah.
The ones with anal claspers, might add.
Oh, brilliant.
Because they need those because they're the loopy ones. You know, not as in mad as Medrax, but the ones that do the loop, like the very hungry caterpillar.
Oh, really?
So the very hungry caterpillar has anal claspers.
And they do it with their bum.
Yeah. Yeah. So they hook on with their bum and then they drive the top of their body up. So,
no.
So that, because my grandchildren, I read them the very hungry
caterpillar. And you tell them the truth.
I tell them how they get there. I say to them now, do you know how the caterpillar climbs like that and goes along the ground like that? I said, I imagine on your bum you've got two gripping hands.
Wow, you would sell so many books telling that remix. Because that is a proper plot twist.
Pretty clever. Anyway, back to the salvia here that's being eaten alive by anal clasping caterpillars. Now, I would definitely, because she's got a lot of pea hay around the base and that's creating too much moisture around the main trunk of the sage. So pull that away. There is a great product that is a bacteria that you spray on the backs of the leaves that will kill the caterpillars, or you do what I do.
Ooh.
And you pull the caterpillars off. You got to really pull because of those anal claspers.
Oh, no.
So you pull them off and you flick them on the ground and then the willy wagtails come down and gobble them up.
Oh, wow. Take that, claspers. Mm. 1300 22 1025. I'm never going to be able to read The Hungry Caterpillar probably ever again. This book is a lie, kids.
No. He still eats everything by one.
It's not with his face.
They don't give you the whole story. This is it.
Eric Cole.
You want the whole story.
Answer for. Let's go to Graham. Graham and Karen up. We tell the truth here at the ABC. Yeah. How are you, Graham?
Very well, thank you. I'll move on quickly. And my question is, what are the gardening jobs for April, Sabrina?
Ah, that is a fantastic question.
Wow.
Okay, so you can do, if you've got roses, you can do autumn pruning. So you just take, you deadhead them and you come down about a third. Anything that flowered all summer long, you can actually give them a prune. If you've had summer flowering native plants, you can give them a prune now. If you have big clumps of kangaroo paws, you can actually dig them up, like cut them down to 10 centimetres high, dig them up, don't separate them with the axe or a shovel because that they don't like that. They tend to die. So you've got to pull them apart.
Yep.
Really good time to improve the soil. So get the compost in, get poo in, turn it in. If you've got sandy soil, which you will have in Karen up, it's a good time to turn in a little bit of clay as well. Get bales of hay, lucerne, lupin, whatever your mulch is, and have that ready to put on at the end of winter. But if you store it at home, you've got it there, good to go as soon as spring comes. And, of course, all the veggies. So lettuce, the rainbow chard, spinach, cabbage, broccoli, broccolini, silver beet, carrots you can put in. So there's heaps of stuff you can put in your garden now.
That sounds like a good school holiday activity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and over Easter, a lot of people will be staying home this Easter because they can't afford to take the car out of the garage.
But if you don't, go to Exmouth.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
So I think also, you know, people are finding it pretty tough with the price of everything these days. So what I like to do is when I don't go anywhere is, particularly with the kids and we're not going camping, I just set the tent up in the backyard and we have camping nights.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I put a whole pile of sticks, blankets, just a big pile of stuff out, just out on the back veranda, and the kids make their own tents.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's a really lovely time just to do simple things. Go on bushwalks. Mm. After this rain, oh, my goodness, going out in the bush. I reckon this spring's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, get your gumboots out. Let's go to Kate in Mandurah. Thank you, Kate. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. I planted a passion fruit into a fairly, I think it's too shallow. It's only around about 30 centimetres deep, trough, but it's about 1.6. It's long and thin.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, I've got an idea of putting it up a wall, of course.
Yeah.
And I had these troughs and I thought, I'll just use this. But now I'm sort of doubting myself and I'm thinking I'm going to have to start all over again.
Wow. It's very shallow for a passion fruit. Yeah. Their root system goes the whole extent of the upper growth. So too shallow.
What?
Yeah, so the root system.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Espalier?
Yeah, you could. Well, no.
No. Sorry, I did that with the creepy hands. What does that mean again?
Yeah. So espalier is where you train something horizontally up a wall.
Oh, no,
but the problem is, Kate, if you want that to produce lots of passion fruit, there's just not enough soil mass.
Okay. So I think I have to go back to the drawing board and think what else I'm going to do.
And make sure you
so
get
So how is it in full sun?
It's in about 3 to 4 hours of sun a day.
You're not going to get passion fruit anyway.
I really wanted it just as a green wall.
Oh, okay. So if you want a green wall, you can put up a Hibertia scandens. Will grow in that space.
The yellow flower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful climber called Cissus ellendanica or Danica. So it's Cissus ellendanica. Danica, D-A-N-I-K-A. You buy it in a – they usually sell them in the where the indoor plants are in a hanging basket. But it loves just small amounts of sunlight, and it will climb up a wall if you put a frame on it. And it's perfect for those shady areas. It's a beautiful deep green, a big lush leaf, but it is, in fact, very hardy.
Yeah, wow.
And – would that grow in a shallow pot?
Yes, yes, yes. Because people grow them just in a hanging basket and it crawls up the wall. So that would be perfect. Cissus and an Ellen Danica. Ellen Danica.
It looks like a fig leaf like crossed with a philodendron leaf.
Yeah,
like
it's a beautiful leaf.
Like the leaf that the Greeks used over there.
Yeah.
And will that grow fairly, cover, two or three metres?
Oh, absolutely. No problem at all.
Woohoo! Go hard, Kate.
That's the plant for you, Kate.
Very good. Plant matching. Let's go to Sue in Dalyella. Hey, Sue.
Hello.
Hello, Sue.
Hi.
Hi. I'm being overrun by strawberries, so I've got two questions.
Oh, what a shocking problem, Sue. Oh, my goodness.
I'll move. Send my kids down.
Move house.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid it'll take over the front footpath if I'm not careful.
Oh, my goodness.
But produces beautiful fruit.
Great.
So I've got two questions.
Yeah.
How long can I leave the original parent plants in the ground before I need to replace them?
Okay, so strawberries are very prone to different fungal and bacterial diseases, so I wouldn't keep them in for more than 3 years.
Okay.
And then you use the runners that come off those because they're identical to the parent plant.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. This is a really old-fashioned strawberry, so hopefully it's a bit
Is it
stronger.
One of the alpine ones?
No, not that I'm aware of. Right. It's one that's come down through the family and just gets passed around.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and it has magnificent fruit. So I've had more than my fill of strawberries this summer.
Yeah.
But what's happening now is, of course, runners everywhere. And I'm wanting to – I thought, do I need to actually root them before I give them away, or can I chop them off and people take them and –
Depends on the person you're giving it to.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for the easy way.
Yeah, no, you can certainly just cut them off and give them to people, but you've got to tell them that they have to actually plant them that day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you've got a strawberry like yours and you don't want to lose the parent plant for you, Sue, what you can do is get some small pots. Put those the runners, keep them attached to the parent plant, but plant the runner in a pot while it's still attached to the parent.
Yeah.
And then once it develops roots, you cut the umbilical cord.
That's clever.
Yeah, that's what I can do. But I didn't want to do it for about 50 runners.
Oh, absolutely not, Sue. No, absolutely not. So they will be fine. So you just give them the runners and just say to them, it's got a much better chance of survival if you pop those up today.
Pop them instead of straight into the ground would
be best. Yeah, definitely. Pop them up in potting mix because that's a special – you've got a special strawberry. Yeah,
your strawberry Sue.
Yeah, I know.
From now on. Strawberry Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel a bit like a strawberry at the moment. The front yard's beginning to put me in fear of them.
Oh, gosh, how absolutely wonderful.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Mm. But thank you very much.
Okay.
I can do that and then pass them around.
Okay, fantastic,
nice
Sue.
Nice to speak to you, Sue. 1300-22-1025. Sports Talk is coming up after us, which is good to know. Let's go to Martin, who is in Burswood in Perth. Hi, Martin.
Hi, good morning.
What's going on with your retaining wall?
I've got this crepe myrtle that's just about right next to probably a 3-metre retaining wall.
Yep.
And I'm just a bit concerned about the root structure of it, whether it needs to go or whether it should be left alone.
No, leave it.
Oh, okay.
The root system of the crepe myrtle isn't going to push your wall over.
Right.
It'll come right up to the wall and then it'll travel down the wall. But it won't push it over.
Right.
And if it's 20 years old, Martin, you would start to see cracks already in the wall.
Right, okay, yep.
So
yep.
If you can't see cracks in the wall, you leave that beautiful 20-year-old tree right where it is.
Yeah, if that wall did fall down, Martin, what's on the other side of it?
My neighbours.
And do you like your neighbours?
They won't like me after the wall falls.
That's all right. They'll be squished. No, just joking.
No, oh, you don't need to worry, Martin.
Woohoo!
Good one. Okay, yep. Thank
okay,
you.
No worries.
All right, thanks.
What a good neighbour.
Yeah.
1300 222 1025. Ooh. Is it Tanae or Tanette from Mindari?
It's Tanette.
Tanette.
Morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Okay, so I've got another Lillipilli hedge question. So I've got a boundary fence that's a Lillipilli. I want to know when I can prune it now, because I've left it the entire summer for fear of killing it.
Yeah.
But it's still got little pink seeds and white flower things on them in spots.
So
but the tentacles are really long. So when do I do that?
No, so you can do it now. I know it's still in flower and I know it's got the fruit on it, but you need to do it before winter. So I would hook into it now.
Okay, wonderful. Well,
you know,
you so
not
much.
Necessarily this afternoon, but you know, over the next few weeks.
When it's safe.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely before it goes into winter, would that be harmful
yes,
again?
Yes.
Because it's so important. It's the boundary fence, so I can't.
Yeah.
It needs to live.
Yeah. No, that's why you do it now. You certainly wouldn't be doing it midwinter. And you want all the new growth to harden up before summer.
Nice. Thanks, Tanette.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank
have
you. Bye.
Day.
Bye. Let's have a look. We got lots of texts, but we are going to calls. So come on down if you can. Kerry from High Wycombe. What's happening for you, Kerry?
Hi. I've got this really beautiful retaining wall with an up above it. I've got a vine that's growing. I don't know the name of it. It's got little beautiful white flowers.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is I've got an asbestos fence and there's a big gap underneath the vine. So I need to cover that up. So I need a short sort of bush of some sort that's really easy to take care of that's just going to cover up the wall that doesn't need much sun.
Okay, so it's quite a shady spot where it is. And presumably you want something that's pretty dense, that dense.
Yeah, to sort of, because the vine has, it's got this thick base and then it comes up and it overhangs the whole fence. But it's just that space underneath. It's probably about 60 centimetres or so where I see the fence and I don't want to.
Yeah. Oh, so you want something that's 60 centimetres high?
Yeah, well, just to cover up that section. And I've got a really large area.
Right, okay.
Because all around the periphery of my house, it's got the fence border and then it's got the vine all the way around. So it'd have to be a mass planting as well.
Yeah, okay. So So there is there's a dwarf Lillipilli that will grow in shady areas. You will probably have to prune it to keep it, so that it looks really nice. There's one called Allen Magic, Allyn, and Tiny, the other one's Tiny Trev. Now, they are both dwarf. They're dwarf Lillipillis. They will grow in a shade area. They're very thick, very dense, fast growing. You can usually buy either Allen Magic or Tiny Trev in tube stock or in the little squat pots.
Oh, squat pot.
And they're long lived.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Good to know. Random text that isn't about gardening.
Mm.
Upset of the season tip, the West Coast Eagles will beat Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval tomorrow, from Stephen, the Deputy Mayor of the town of Walkerville. Can I just say, though, that match is on at 9 a.m. our time.
Oh, really?
Isn't that crazy? So in terms of the broadcast, that's what's going on tomorrow. If you love Macca in the morning, he's still going to be there. He's just on digital.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone's asked, good to mulch or not to mulch garlic? I wouldn't be mulching garlic over the winter period.
Oh.
You'll rot your bulbs.
Okay. Let's go to Matthew in Mount Lawley. Hello, Matthew.
Hi there. Good morning.
Morning.
Um,
So I just have a quick question around whether now would be a good time to plant the lemon tree that I got for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's about 1.5 metres tall, yeah. In a sort of 50-litre bag. The other thing is, what should I put in the hole that I dig and put the lemon tree in?
Okay, it's a perfect time to put your tree in. All citrus, great time to plant. I would get a little tiny bit of clay, definitely some poo. You can get blended poo, sheep poo, chicken poo. So you want half a bag of that. Half a bag of compost and a little bit of clay. Put it in with that and it'll love you forever.
Oh, good luck, Matthew. We are on the clock now. 6 minutes to 10. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Clive is in East Vic Park. Hi, Clive.
Hello.
Hello, hey. Clive.
I've got a locust. It came from a neighbour and the parents' trees died, so I took it from a seed.
Yeah.
And I've got it growing. And I sent a picture. But, like, each summer it just burns to a crisp. Like, I put it under the shade. It's in a pot at the moment.
They've got quite a fleshy leaf, and they really do not like when they're babies, because that really soft, tender leaf, it gets burnt
it's in
pretty
pot.
Badly.
Could you move it somewhere?
Yeah.
So I would move your pot. If you're going to put it in the ground, Clive, I mean, once they're established, they're tough as old boots.
Because I see them around everywhere. I'm just like, they definitely survive.
But yours is in a pot and the pot heats up. So I would definitely move your pot where it just gets all the morning sun, no afternoon sun at this stage. Yep.
Okay.
And then do you want to put it in the ground?
One day I put it in the ground.
Not where they're going to get the full blast of the afternoon sun.
Okay.
So half a day's sun is perfect.
Okay, awesome.
All righty.
And then does it need to be fed with anything special?
Because they're the first to fruit sort of at the end of winter, so the time to feed them up is in autumn. So end of summer, autumn is when you feed your locust trees.
All right. Phil in Mandurah, it's your turn. What have you got for us? A Tahitian lime tree.
Yeah, hey, following your advice very closely, I planted that little Tahitian lime in October 24th. That's not even 18 months.
Wow. It's full of fruit.
And that's the fruit.
That is less than 18 months, and it's going really well.
Wow.
You are a success story, a Sabrina Hahn success story, number 5
Looks
million.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool.
I just thought I'd share that with you. That's all. I'm very
well done, Phil. Well, you did all the work. I just gave the advice, and you've done the work, and it's paid off, my friend.
No worries. Thanks for that.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
Oh, very cool.
So we like success stories.
Put the right things in the hole and
bang. Off you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jeannie is in Applecross and is replanting a hibiscus. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Talking about putting the right things in the right holes, yes. I put the right thing in the wrong hole.
tell me.
Put my hibiscus, my windmill hibiscus, in a place that it has grown too big for.
Oh.
So what are my chances of replanting it?
Pretty good. So how long has it been where it is?
3 years.
Yep, I reckon you'd be fine. So you're going to have to give it a good old prune, 40% off, dig it up and move it. They actually transplant really well.
Wow.
That's good, because I really like it.
And good time of the year to do it right now.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And the next thing is, referring to Strawberry Sue.
Yes.
Who has a surfeit of strawberries.
Yes.
What suburb is she in? Because I'm sure I could find some friends and help her out.
Asking for her address?
I think she came from Mandurah.
Dalyellup.
Oh, yeah. Dalyellup. Yeah, well, yeah. South of...
Oh, God,
Danny
that's miles away. No.
Yeah.
That is a
you
classic...
You love strawberries?
That is a classic Perth response.
But not that much. It was Dalyellup. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Jeannie.
All right. Thank you, ladies.
No worries. Bye.
Other people think it's hilarious how we won't cross the river.
I know.
Oh, it's wonderful. Although, she wouldn't be crossing the river. She's only on the southern side.
Right.
But you know what I mean.
She's on her way there already.
Yep. Aiden is above the river. Hello, Aiden in Karenup. Cardinia. Oh, different.
South of the river, yeah.
Yes, yes. So you've sent through a picture and you have a leaf miner that is eating all the chlorophyll out of your eucalyptus tree.
Okay. And how now, do I kill such things?
Well, it's quite tricky because the eggs are laid inside the leaf and the caterpillar is inside the leaf. And it's more than likely a small moth that's doing that. So really what you need to do is cut off the worst affected of the leaves, because if you spray, the spray doesn't go inside the leaf. Now, all eucs will get it for a period of time. You can either open up the scar that's left and the birds will come and knock them off. And all that black stuff is their poo.
Okay. All right.
So don't be squeamish about that.
Well, based on your other back end of caterpillar chat from earlier, I think we're covering all ends.
That's a great wrap for us, Aiden. Thank you for following the theme. With somebody on the text line said, is this gardening or sex advice? And we don't know, right? To be honest, we don't know.
Usually both.
Thank you, Aiden. Have a good weekend. What a segue into sports talk. Incredible. You'll be back with Amber next week.
Next week.
And get your tickets for Open House as well. The men in caps are back along with Clint Wheeldon. We'll see you again.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.